Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. We're located in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, the counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor at Brookside. And we have been talking just about the wonderful mercy of the Lord that Wallace and Rhonda Powell experienced in the last 18 years. I'm reminded of Psalm 123. It says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of a servant look upon the hand of his master, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have had mercy on us." Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. You see that word mercy, 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 and it's just really interesting how it says that just as the servant looks to the hand of his master, because the master just really didn't talk much. He just would give directions with his hand. And the same thing was true with the maid, you know, looking at the hand of her mistress. And so the psalmist says, so our eyes wait upon the Lord until he will have mercy. I love that because it doesn't say, hopefully he'll have mercy. I mean, it's expected. God will have mercy. And so our eyes just simply wait until he will have mercy. And that is basically the confidence that God gave you folks, isn't it? When this all began to develop, you began to realize we serve an awesome God.
Yes. And I just think about how many times the ambulance would arrive at our doorstep in the middle of the night because something went wrong with Wallace. His diabetes, one night a few years ago, he was having a seizure, and his blood sugar had dropped to dangerously low level.
Sure.
And then he was out cold. He had stopped breathing, and he was unconscious, and he was cold and clammy, and one of the kids called 911, and the boys helped me drag him from the bathroom to the living room.
Right.
And he was laying there on the couch. He was cold, and his pulse was very, very weak.
Right.
And I just called out to the Lord. The kids were crying, and they said, "Oh, Daddy, please don't die. Daddy, please don't die." And I just said, "Lord, he's yours. Take him if you must."
Right.
"But please, I'm begging your mercy, not now, not this way."
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And God was so good. He saved Wallace that night. He did not die. He started to come around. I had given him a shot of glucose to try to bring that blood sugar
right,
up.
Right.
It was under 20, which is dangerously low.
Oh, wow.
Most people do not live with blood sugars that low. And by the time the paramedics had arrived, he was starting to gain consciousness.
Okay, okay.
But that night I knew whatever God wanted to do, he could have done it, and he would have been just and good had he done that. But he showed mercy on his child and spared us that moment.
You know, the one thing I think about with mercy is the fact that I'm still here. The fact that I was told in 1993 that I have 2, maybe 3 years left, well, you know, each day that the clock ticks by, you recognize, well, you're getting close to that time period.
Sure.
So even the doctors would kind of look at you and say, wow, you're still here.
Well,
and, you know, as time is going on, they're kind of looking like, wow, he's really still here. And what I recognized was each day was God's mercy. I wasn't owed anything, but that helped me to stay grateful. Because every time I closed my eyes, I had to be prepared for the possibility that I'm not going to wake up.
Sure.
It was a very, very real possibility. And so thinking about that when you close your eyes, that, you know, nobody would be surprised if you stay this way.
Mm.
You have to prepare yourself for that. Are you ready for this? Are you right with God with this? What do you have in your heart about this? And I had to have a sense of gratitude for what I already had and what he had already given me, and not just, well, I'm demanding something more.
That doesn't work with God, does it?
It doesn't work. No. But it was such a blessing each day to just see the days tick by. And I knew that if he stopped him at any particular time,
right,
he still was good. He still was gracious.
Exactly.
But he just showed himself very merciful in that regard.
And what was the verse that you were quoting?
This is the day which the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that became a verse that I thought about each day.
Wow.
That, well, here's another day, Lord. And help me, rather than getting bogged down in the cares of life, really help to focus on, oh, this is your day. This is not my day. This is your day. So help me to be rejoicing. Help me not to be worn down or tired out or frustrated or any of that.
Right.
But help me to rejoice. And it's always been the standard. I don't know if I made it all the time.
Well, now, according to Rhonda, you did.
Yes.
Because she said she never heard you complain.
No.
And it is hard to complain and rejoice at the same time.
That's true. That's true.
And one of the things that Wallace and I always talked about over the years, when people would say, because some people in well-meaning would say, oh, well, God's not going to let Wallace die. He's too young and he's a good person. And all those things are true, but God will do what he wants to do.
Yes.
And he owes us nothing. And I'm so thankful God never gave us what we deserve, which is hell,
actually. You know, and that is such an important point for us, just to pause on just for a second. God doesn't owe us a healthy life or a happy life. This is the day the Lord has given us. And so we have today. And to choose to rejoice and be glad in it and just give him praise for, if this is the last day, then Lord, help me to go out praising. Amen. And that attitude is different than a lot of people who are struck with debilitating illness, and they really struggle with attitude issues, don't they?
Yes. It's very difficult to have the right attitude and to keep thinking I'm going to do right no matter what. And I remember a pastor once saying that character is doing right no matter how you feel.
Wow, that's important. Say that again.
Character is doing what's right no matter how you feel. And that has stuck with me over these years, that I will do right until death.
Right.
By my God, because of everything he's done for me.
And God has given you now 5 children.
Yes.
They have watched this whole process. And they probably have some pretty awesome testimonies of what they have learned about God. Maybe we need to get them here in the studio and just listen to their testimonies about what they have learned about God as they've watched mom and dad have to trust God when he was the only one they could turn to.
Yes. One of my sons told me one day, he says, Mom, do you know how I know God is real? And I said, no, hon. How do you know God is real?
Right.
Because I have seen him in you and dad. And I know he is real.
Oh,
and I
my.
Know what you live at home is not different than what's out there in the world. And that was the greatest compliment, giving all glory to God, not to myself or to Wallace. But that was the greatest compliment to hear from my child.
Yes.
That he can see Christ in his dad and I.
Exactly. And, you know, if we can't be good object lessons of the Lord's grace and his mercy, where else are our kids going to see it?
That's a very good point. That's one of those things that just really stuck with me.
Yeah.
And I just felt that I'm the best, the closest, the one that God wants to use to impart these points and put these principles in their minds and in their hearts. And to the extent that I'm following him, you know, he'll be able to use me however he chooses.
Right.
And I always felt that there was maybe 250 different reasons that we were going through the things we were going through.
Sure.
And I would probably know 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to trust him for the other 246,
right,
or however many there were.
Yeah.
The good thing is that we could trust him. But I remember focusing on, well, what I know to do in this situation. Lord, help me to be able to do this. And we'll trust you with however else you're going to work it. with whoever else and how that's going to work over the years and over time and over distance. We will trust you to use this however you want.
Exactly. You know, Wallace, I was talking to a gentleman that's retired and living with family now, son and children and grandchildren, that kind of a thing. And just kind of, you know, facing a little bit of, well, you know, who am I now? I don't work anymore. I don't have any significance. I'm not, you know, a big wig anymore in my company. And I mentioned to him, you know, God has given you grandchildren with whom you live in the same home. And it could be that God wants you to spend the rest of your years impacting each one of those grandchildren. And so why don't you just set aside some time each day with each grandchild and just begin to teach them some character lessons maybe that God has taught you, and some lessons that when you're dead and gone, you'll want them to know and to live. And he looked at me like, oh, wow. I said, yeah, that's a new job, isn't it? But, you know, if God hasn't taken us home, he still has a reason for us to be here.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So whether it's our children or our grandchildren, you know, we need to have an influence in their lives. And it could be that we're speaking to some folks that are in their cars or at work or in their homes that are saying, well, Pastor Craig, that's nice, but I don't live anywhere near my grandchildren. Thank God for the technology that we have today. You know, that we can call them or text them or send them an email each day with just maybe a biblical principle that God is teaching us today that we can share with our grandchildren. And I don't know all the details about it, but I do know that you can put together some kind of a list like that on your computer, type up one little note and hit send, and all of them get it, you know. Here I am talking to a computer man, and you're smiling like, oh, boy, how dumb can you be? But this is exactly what I want to close our program with today, that however you find your situation, whether you're 29 years old like Wallace was when he faced this devastating news, or whether you're 89 years old, as long as God gives you breath, as long as somebody said it this way, as long as you're vertical and ventilating, God wants you to continue to have an influence for him in the lives of other people. And so, Wallace and Rhonda, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful story about your wonderful God. And now with the transplants, you now have a new lease on life. And I know what a wonderful testimony it's going to be as others are able to watch you live this new life and give you a ministry through your misery. And so we trust that the same thing will be true with you, that whatever your misery is, you'll discover God's ministry through it. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.